great night came and all whom we had invited were there. Bulgy bears and red dwarfs and black dwarfs, moles and badgers, hares and hedgehogs, and five satyrs as red as foxes, and a whole contingent of talking mice, armed to the teeth and following a shrill trumpet.
Yes.
Your Majesty.
What? Someone speak.
Behind you, sire. At your feet. It's the mouse, Reepy Cheep.
Mouse? But wait.
Oh.
Hello.
There are 12 of us, sire, and I place all the resources of my people unreservedly at your Majesty's disposal.
Oh, well, thank you, Reaper Chief.
Some owls came, as did the old raven of Ravenscore. Last of all, with the centaurs, came a small but genuine giant, Wimbleweather of Dead Man's Hill, carrying on his back a basket full of rather seasick dwarfs who had accepted his offer of a lift and were now wishing they'd walk instead. The feast began with music and dance from the fauns. I could tell from his expression that Caspian had never seen the likes of them before, with their curly heads and little horns, their naked torsos and their legs and feet like those of goats. We all joined in the dance with them, except Nicobrick, who stayed off to the side and looked on in silence. We decided to hold the Council of War immediately, then have our banquet afterwards. Everyone sat down in a great circle, and when we got Patatwig to stop running to and fro and telling all the creatures to be silent, Caspian, feeling a little nervous, got up.
Narnians, I'd like to welcome you.
Prince Caspian, with respect, sire.
What's wrong, Camillo?
My hair sense tells me there's a man somewhere near.
Yes. Smells like a man, and yet not quite like a man.
Whatever it is, Truffle Hunter, it is getting steadily nearer.
Two badgers and you three dwarfs, with your bows at the ready, go softly off to meet it.
There's no need. I'm here, and unarmed.
Dr. Cornelius!
Hello, my prince.
A renegade dwarf. A half and half. Shall I pass my sword to his throat?
Be quiet, Nicobrick. The creature can't help its ancestry.
Oh, this is the greatest friend and the saviour of my life. And anyone who doesn't like his company may leave my army at once. Oh, dearest doctor, I am glad to see you again. However did you find us out?
By a little use of simple magic, Your Majesty. But there's no time to go into that now. We must all fly from this place at once. You're already betrayed, and Miraz is on the move. Before midday tomorrow, you will be surrounded.
Betrayed? By whom?
Another renegade dwarf, no doubt.
No. By your horse, Destria. The poor brute knew no better. He went dawdling back to his stable in the castle, and then the secret of your flight was out. I made myself scarce, having no wish to be questioned about it in Miraz's torture chamber. I had a pretty good guess from my crystal as to where I should find you, but all day, and that was the day before yesterday, I saw Miraz's tracking parties out in the woods. And yesterday I learned that his army is out. I don't think some of your pure-blooded dwarves have as much woodcraft as might be expected. You left tracks all over the place. Great carelessness. At any rate, something has warned Miraz that old Narnia is not as dead as he'd hoped, and he's on the move.
Oh. Hurrah! Oh. Let them come. All I ask is that the king will put me and my people in the front.
What on earth? Oh, by the lion, it's a mouse. Signor Mouse, I desire your better acquaintance. I am honoured by meeting so valiant a beast.
My friendship you shall have, learned man. And any dwarf or giant in the army who does not give you good language shall have my sword to reckon with.
Is there time for this foolery? What are our plans? Battle or flight?
Battle if need be, but we're hardly ready for it yet, and this is no very defensible place.
Oh. Yes, well, I don't like the idea of running away.
Hear him. Whatever we do, don't let's have any running, especially not before supper. And not too soon after it, neither.
Well said, Bear.
Thank you, Glenstorm.
But those who run first do not always run last. And why should we let the enemy choose our position instead of choosing it ourselves? Let us find a strong place.
Glenstorm's advice is wise, Majesty. Very wise.
But where are we to go to?
Your Majesty, and all you variety of creatures, I think we must fly east and down the river to the great woods. The Telmarines hate that region. They've always been afraid of the sea and of something that may come over the sea. That is why they have let the great woods grow up. If tradition speak true, the ancient Caer Paravel was at the river mouth. All that part is friendly to us and hateful to our enemies. We must go to Aslan's How.
Aslan's How? What is it?
It lies within the skirts of the great woods, and it is a huge mound which Narnians raised in very ancient times over a very magical place, where there stood, and perhaps still stands, a very magical stone. The mound is all hollowed out and contains galleries and caves, and the stone is in the central cave of all. There is room in the mound for all our stores, and those of us who have most need of cover and are most accustomed to underground life can be lodged in the caves. The rest of us can lie in the wood. At a pinch, all of us, except this worthy giant, could retreat into the mound itself, and there we should be beyond the reach of every danger except famine.
It's a good thing we have a learned man among us.
Soup and celery. I wish our leaders would think less about these old wives' tales and more about victuals and arms.
I approve of Dr. Cornelius's proposal.
So do I. To Aslan's How.
Yes, to Aslan's How.
Now, before we ate?
Now? We've no time to lose.
I was afraid you were going to say that.